The thing of her knighting George Bush, it could have just been like a thing to show that she has respect for him or whatever.
Maybe
because
of 9/11. Maybe because he went through with it. Maybe that was
possibly
his
thing. I tend to think that type of knighting is more ceremonial than anything, because you have so many entertainers and everything. So I mean, I think that maybe they do a small thing, but I think that the knighting that counts is the part that they don't like to admit to.
What about the entertainers that they've had? Who have they had? Haven't they had real influential people who maybe have put a really strong message out for the Illuminati in the past?
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones
like
being knighted. Haven't
like
been
Paul
people
McCartney.
Like the Beatles and stuff. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So maybe it's not so just ceremonious. So maybe they really did do something for them.
What I'm saying, though, is not so much ceremonial, but just enough to recognize them for what they did. But it doesn't really mean that they're going to, really get to call any shots. But, hey, we recognize you because you help subvert a generation and you help make us billions of dollars or whatever too.
Right.
Type thing. Just kind of like scratching your back, giving you a little reward, and you get to go around the rest of your life thinking you're an elite and be getting called sir. So I mean that's what I mean by that's as far as I don't know if it's a blood oath though or anything like that where you would, that's what I'm saying, where some of the other ones are where supposedly if you If you're a Knight of Malta and you see, here's the thing with the Vatican's hierarchy. Now, supposedly at some point they were taken over by the Jesuits. Now, the Jesuit order has the Black Pope, which supposedly is at the top of this, but you also have the papal families, which are the Orsinis, the Breakspears, the Borgias. They're all these families of the original Black nobility, and then it also goes to the German families and then the English families. All the European royalty are part of what is called the Black nobility. But you have these papal families, and for example, they have a guy named the Grey Pope, which is Orsini, and supposedly he's the one that has to be from that bloodline. And they have Benedict as the White Pope. And then they have Adolfo Nicholas is the Black Pope. It's a trinity, like everything else. It's kind of like, keeping the Kabbalah in tune. Anyway, the Jesuits, though, their thing is that they would be the, the ruling branch and kind of like the brains behind the operation. Whereas the Knights of Malta is considered their military branch, considered, the guys that go out and kind of do the dirty work for them, and that's why supposedly the Rothschilds are Knights of Malta as well. And that's why they get to keep the papal, the Vatican Bank and, the whole papal trust and everything.
I think they're just a front for the Vatican, honestly.
I think it's a real
family and there's real research into it, but I think the main part with them is they just keep the Vatican's name out of everything.
Right.
They take some of the blame if they have to, and if they do, fuck it. As long as the blame doesn't go to the Vatican.
Exactly, and
that's
they're
why
not
you'll
so
never hear Alex Jones mention the Vatican.
Right.
He'll mention
the
Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, but he'll never mention the Vatican and the Malta.
But I will say though. Now here's the thing. I will say in general though that I think that they are kind of finally throwing all these religions under the bus, for the sake of, because if they're getting ready to go to a new religion, so that's kind of, I think, why they had all these sexual pedophile acts come out. If the Vatican wanted to, they probably could have, hit them better, or maybe not put so many people in. Put pedophiles back out there. It's almost like they wanted to get caught. So
the new world order wants the new world order to fail.
Imagine Rome never split up and just kept control of the history books, and this whole time it's been controlled from the Vatican, the whole world.
That's the whole point. Let me finish this point though real quick. So you think about it. So right there, the Catholics are already kind of shamed for that, right? From what the Vatican has done. All right. And then now you have the evangelical Christians, who everybody in America thinks is nuts except for them. And that covers a good amount of Christians, and anyone in the West, too. They're considered your far right, you know, nutty Christians, right? Then you have the Jews, which because of the way Israel's been acting.
John dropped out. We're going to put him back in the call. Hold on one second, Justin.
Okay.
John, you dropped out?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, right. Go ahead. You're back on. Justin, go ahead. All right.
Okay, you know, so like I was saying, I don't know if John heard, I was talking about, like, you know, the evangelicals and everything. Everybody in America and Canada, everyone thinks they're batshit crazy, too. Now, supposedly they're also trained by the same people. And, you know, they have groups like the CNP that control them, the Council for National Policy, that control, like, the Joel Osteens and all these other, you know, high-paid preachers. But now you get to the Jews, right? And you look at it, and they've been demonized too. And look at what they've done with Israel. It's almost like they set up Israel to be their strong arm bully state. And look what they've done to the Palestinians. And even, you know, you have the UN saying that what they've done is against the rule. And then you have the other sick stuff with the circumcisions and the rabbis giving the baby herpes after he sucked his 2-year-old's penis from the bloodletting or whatever the hell they do. And then of course you have the Muslims, which have been blamed right along for all this. So what do you have? You have the main three religions are all kind of, you know, everybody, even people that are not researchers, are growing to hate religion. So what does that mean? That means that they're throwing these under the bus so that they, when they form a new religion, people will be willing to leave these ones. See, here's the thing. The older people that have been the Catholic Church their whole life, they'll never leave. The Jews will never leave. The old, you know, but the people that are in their 20s and 30s right now, they're going to be a lot more accepting of it because they don't want religious structure. But if it's a religion based on climate change and based on even alien worship or earth worship or, you know, and who knows when these supposed aliens come, if they're going to come with a new false religion. And, you know, and of course we have the whole theosophy stuff that all this is based on anyway, that all this occult stuff is based on. So this may be their way of getting rid of these religions in way for the one world religion. That way you unite them all.
Yeah.
Under this new, you know, fake one, which is the same thing, mind control, but people think it's, you know, different.
I just would like to touch on something we sort of touched on before. You know, that we know that the elites are into all this, you know, numerology and all kinds of occult stuff. So, do you think there's something to it?
I think that they definitely believe it. Yes, I do think.
Well, they believe absolutely, right. But I'm saying, you know, look at where they are.
Well,
is there something to all that stuff? Is there some reality to it? And I guess if so, if we studied it, could it be used for good?
Yes. From my talking with a couple friends I have that are you know, that are actual Freemasons and whatnot. I have a couple people I talk to, and they give me a little bit of info here and there. And from what I've talked to, that yes, they're actually capable of doing what they call magic sorcery. However, the people that I've talked to have said that they're worried about this getting out because, you know, it's what you're doing is you're messing with the universe's power. You know, you're messing with things that are out of your hands. And if you're not 100% accurate in this, you can take the energy away from someone that doesn't belong to, you know, or whatever. Type of thing. But supposedly a buddy of mine said that if he could possibly could, and I'd be a little nervous about it, but he said he could possibly train enough people to counteract a lot of the stuff that they're doing. I don't know, you know, 100% of it's true, but I know damn well that they believe in the sacred geometry stuff. And I think that a lot of it is true. And I think that the Fibonacci sequence kind of proves that there is an order to the world and that they're, you know, that, It just might be that it's actually a dark, that they're actually maybe praising dark and light entities too, you know, and that's the thing. They're kind of getting you know, energy vampires. That's the main thing. Then you see people like us, you know.
Yeah, they even show that on TV. They got those the succubus show or something. I don't know what the show is called, but the it's sort of they're sort of like vampires, but they don't suck blood; they suck your life force.
Oh wow!
And the star of the show is sort of a good it's a woman, a girl, and she's sort of a good girl because she doesn't kill people; she just sucks enough to, you know, for sustenance, but doesn't kill them.
Oh,
I haven't seen the.
I haven't seen
the whole show, but it's on TV now. What you're talking about?
Show? The one in Louisiana takes place or whatever.
Lost Girl, I think it is. It's called.
It's not the one. What do you call it? Blood. True Blood.
No. It's not. She's not a vampire. It's called a succubus.
Right. Yes. Okay.
And she just, sucks the life force.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, just reminded me, many years ago, I was at a friend's house, and I was there with his wife and this other girl who had just broken up with her boyfriend. And I was really taken with this girl that had just broken up with her boyfriend. And we decided to play the Ouija board. And the Ouija board said, "What?"
Oh,
it said,
boy. That's all I got to say is, oh, boy. About
the Ouija
things.
Board
oh,
said,
good.
"Give me just Sharon." Sharon was the name of this girl. Now, this was like just in my mind, right? I'm just thinking,
yeah.
She's beautiful, and I was just like super attracted to her. And I wasn't really trying to put any moves on her or anything. I was just, in my mind, it was like, wow. You know, I was just blown away. She's a really nice girl. I knew her a little bit, because I knew her husband, too. And but I didn't really know her well. And this was the first time that I'd actually, had a conversation with her, more than two words or whatever. And anyway, so I was really taken with her. And so the three of us decided to play Ouija board, and I wasn't controlling the little thing, and it said, "Give me just Sharon," and it just freaked me out. It really freaked me out. So I don't know, because I wouldn't have thought there was anything to the Ouija board. It was just a toy. So, but Brian, you sounded like you know something about this. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Brian,
sorry, guys. I hit the mute button.
The Ouija
wrong
board,
way.
Brian. What were you
The Ouija
what were you
board
saying?
Thing, guys,
yeah.
is, this will have to be a whole nother show one night, but I used to live in a straight up legit. You guys can believe me or not believe me if you don't want to. I don't care if this discredits any research I've ever done. I lived in a haunted house, okay? I did. I lived in a haunted house. We can go through the stories one night, but as far as the Ouija board, that shit is real. Like, there is something seriously evilly demonic with that thing. That thing is not a toy. When they tell you do not play with that thing, do not play with that thing. I literally watched, and I have witnesses, and I'll actually, I will try and get them to call in next week just to put some credibility to the story. I still know a few of them that were there, and twice we witnessed people getting possessed from the Ouija board. From using the Ouija board in my haunted attic, which used to be an orphanage, by the way, where kids died and everything. So you got this whole ordeal going on already. Here we are. My mother told me, do not use that. So we take it up to the haunted attic. We start using the Ouija board. And the next thing you know, I'm not even joking to you guys.
How old were you?
I was about probably, I was a young teenager, maybe even a little younger, maybe 12, probably 13, okay?
Right.
I know nobody was moving the thing. I just know. I'm just staring at the thing, and there's only two or three of us on it. I know they're not moving the thing. All of a sudden, dude, I swear to God, I got picked up and thrown up against the wall, and everybody's seen it.
Wow.
And that's not a joke. I don't care who wants to quote this show and use it against me. It's the honest to God truth. We used the Ouija board. It picked me up and it threw me up against the bed. Like it was one of those beds that's built into a wall for, like, the orphanage. It's real uncomfortable. But it's a bed, and then the backing of it's the wall. I literally was picked up off the floor 2 or 3 feet, thrown into this wall, and it didn't end there. So we were still using the Ouija board like a bunch of retards, and this kid I know, he just got totally, like, possessed by it. Totally. Totally freaked out, ran out of the house in the pouring rain, down all, we're chasing this kid all over the place. He's fucking losing his mind. And then there was one other time we used it, we'll just get to the Ouija board part, because the whole story of the whole night is all about the haunted house. But at one point, we used the Ouija board, and one of my friends actually insulted one of the entities of the house with a very derogatory term towards them, such as calling them a stupid fucking dead orphan, okay? And you don't even want to know, man. I mean, this one kid got basically attacked by something, and his eyes turned beet red, couldn't even do anything to him. He's totally flipping out of my bed. There were like 10 of us there, so we have a ton of witnesses to it. There was like 10 of us there on a big sleepover, and we tried to stop him, dude. Justin, I'm telling you, I had a Bible in my hand, and I picked up a back scratcher, a big wooden back scratcher, and I cracked it over his head, and it didn't even faze him at all. After about 30 seconds of him like convulsing on the bed, he finally snapped out of it, and we looked everywhere for the Bible. The Bible was gone, and then after that, and all the stuff leading up to that, we can get into it later if you guys want to, but there was a ton of stuff that night that happened in that house that was absolutely mind-boggling, and that was the end of it. We all ran out of the house and went and slept over at my other friend's house. I'm telling you guys, I'm not lying to you. Do not fuck with those Ouija boards.
No, honestly.
Well, my experience was a lot milder than yours, but I've never touched it since. It blew my mind.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's true though. There's actually like occult whistleblowers and stuff that tell you, that those things are no joke. You know that somehow.
Well, sure, I've heard that. You know, but so what? People say it. But. My little experience, it was, like I say, nothing like Brian's, but it still blew me away, because there was three of us on it, and I know that I wasn't moving it, you know?
Right.
I wasn't moving the pointer. And anyway, go ahead.
No,
you know,
I totally
believe that, you know, in demonic possession and stuff, I think it's totally...
about the good side then? Wouldn't there be like the opposite, like everything else? Is it not possible to summon some good spirits, so to speak?
Well, that's what praying does. That's the thing. See, here's the thing. You know, if you think about it, I mean, yes, there is good. There is black magic, and there's, you know, white magic, which, you know, would be the right hand path. You know, supposedly, as far as that goes, and the left-hand path would be the black magic. And other right-hand path religions are like Christianity or whatever, where, you know, but in reality, all prayers are even spells in reality. And that's the thing. So, I mean, it's no different.
All prayers are what?
Are spells.
Are spells, all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the whole thing about it is, you know, when you're saying...
Let's take like numerology, for example. Would there be a dark side and a light side to numerology? Could numerology be used for good as well as evil?
Yeah, I would say so, and I would say, you know, here's the thing though. There's a big discrepancy on what certain numbers mean. For example, I've been told by a buddy of mine, you know, again, you know, that and this, some of this from my own research as well, that 9 is, you know, say 9/11, for example. 9 is the number for man. 11 is the number for sorcery. 10 is the number for God. So in other words, it's man skipping over God with sorcery, you know, and that's why they like to use that combination of 9 and 11. You know, and like, you know, whatever, six would be, you know, Satan or whatever you want to call that entity. And that's why, you know, the triple six would be, And, you know, there's the 33. 33, see, it's weird because it's a very Masonic number, but yet on the other hand, it's something where, you know, it also has, you know, the Jesus part to it too, where Jesus died at age 33, supposedly, you know. And I mean, so, but here's another thing about 11 too, is, you know, I've said this before, in Masonic, if you ever go to Masonic Lodge, and you know, every initiate walks in, there's two pillars, right? And those two pillars, that means, you know, you're initiated if you walk through those two pillars. And those two pillars, that's the 1-1. So those are the supposedly Masonic degree, you know, the infinite knowledge that a Masonic initiate would know, in other words, or would be able to learn. And that's pretty much how that goes. However, there's some people I've come across that say 11 is the awakening number. You know, 11 is a positive number. And it could be used for knowledge for good or bad. So, but you know, I don't know. I'm kind of scared away from that because of the sorcery part that I've heard from it. I'm trying to think of what some other numbers meant in the esoteric. There's esoteric Bibles and stuff too, but there's also a lot of this stuff. There's different people say different things about different numbers. You know.
Well, numerology is just one. You know, one of the things, you know, what about, like, symbology? What, you know, what are the blood sacrifice, you know, all the different things that the elite occultists do. I'm just wondering if there isn't a, you know, a positive, you know, yin-yang part to it.
Well, the reason why when they do child sacrifices is because the child is innocent. The child's a virgin.
I know why right. They do it. What I'm wondering is would there be some sort of positive opposite to that?
In other words, you
were talking about prayer. So is that all we got? You know, they got numerology, they got child sacrifice, they got symbology, you know, all that shit, and all we got is prayer? You know what I'm saying? Is there any different things?
Well, like I said, you can get into white to white magic or whatever, you know, the good magic, but, you know, you're taking a chance because, you know, it's just like playing with a Ouija board. You're messing around oftentimes with things that people don't know about. If you had I see what you're saying. If you had a master occultist that wanted to do good in the world and wanted to counteract this energy, I think that's possible.
What are some of the traits of white magic? How is it practiced?
The only thing is they're they would be witches or pagan worshippers, except that they would go out and instead of a sacrifice or whatever, they would go and get certain things and kind of have good things in mind when they're doing this, like, you know, because for example at the solstice. You know, you see these people show up all over these places. Like, for example, Stonehenge. Stonehenge is known at the solstices to be packed with pagans and packed with people like that. And they're supposedly, you know, they believe that, you know, the solstice is like the, you know, like the rebirth or whatever. And it's, you know, a type of thing where I guess that you know, they're believing that they're harnessing positive energy off these things. And a lot of it has to do with ley lines. And, you know, and energy points, and that's why these things are built where they're built, too. So, I mean, it's possible. I don't know if, you know, it's just the thing of once you get into sorcery, you know, a lot of, but that could be the Christian brainwashing that a lot of us have been through. But I don't know. I've just always kind of wanted to shy away from it. And especially after my buddy told me that, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you can screw things up.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm just kind of wondering, you know, like we know that, you know, life is all full of duality in yin-yang everywhere you look. If there's all this evil occult stuff, it would stand to reason that, there must be, you know, an equal amount of good occult stuff, or that, you know, some of the same, what do you want to call them, you know, I don't know, not techniques or procedures, but, you know, like symbology, for example, you know, why do these companies use five-pointed stars and you know, 7-Eleven and whatever, right? They use
the number 7, like NASA and all these other organizations. They all use
Or like the Mazda, you know, symbol is like the horned devil, and you know.
Yeah, the Baphomet, right?
So, is there a good, a positive opposite to that with symbology?
Not that I know of. No, not in the symbology world. I haven't heard of anything that can counter
if the Ouija thing is real and there are these, you know, spirits, then, you know, obviously that's why these people are into that stuff, because there's substance there. It's not just, you know, ceremonial
definitely. Well, you know, and this all comes back, you know, here's the thing. All this stuff, I believe, comes from the Kabbalah, you know, like I said, Jewish mysticism. And, you know, and the whole thing back then was they all prayed to Baal, you know, B-A-A-L.
Right.
And they would sacrifice the calf or whatever, and that's what they, you know, that was one of the first idols that they would, you know, would use was the calf. And that's why they had the golden calf in those days, and now J.P. Morgan has the bull, you know, the bull or the calf, one or the other. I'm sorry for the confusion, but either way, yeah, whatever it was, some kind of cow, you know, and they would sacrifice, you know, this thing, and that's, I guess, how it came to be from the Kabbalah, and I believe the Kabbalah is something also that has two sides of it. You know, it's mysticism, and I guess it can be used for good or bad as well. You know, and that's the thing. I don't know. I'm as far as the right hand path goes, it's still hard to tell. You
know, that guitar player guy that I was telling you about earlier, he's into the Kabbalah.
Right.
He's, you know, he doesn't seem evil to me. I mean, he's, you know, I've talked to him on the phone and we've emailed, and actually he got me a free guitar basically from a company that sponsored him. He just twisted the guy's arm, I guess, and said, "Hey, I know this guitar player up in Canada. You got to give him a guitar." So he got me a guitar. But the weird thing was, when I went to his website, he had a kind of devilish look to him, you know. Mm. He had one of those. He had a soul patch, I don't get any kind of devilish vibe from him at all. But you know, whoever did his artwork, which I think was his girlfriend at the time or something, I don't know. Just the pictures. There was, you know, and it wasn't just me. My wife agreed. There was some, and I told him about it. I said, you know, man, you're like a really nice guy, but, you know, like there's some kind of devilish little bit of a, you know, just not strong, but just a hint of this devilish vibe coming off his imagery. It was kind of bizarre. Anyway, and he's into the Kabbalah, and he was sort of trying to, you know, mentioned a few times I should check it out.
Does he wear the red?
So maybe he's into the positive side of it, or, you know, I don't know. But then that doesn't square with that little bit of devilish look.
You know, like you said, though, I think it's a little bit of the yin and the yang, you know, and I think that's kind of how they get people into it. And I think that, you know, there may be, some stuff that goes along with it.
What about Madonna and some of the entertainers getting into it?
That's the thing. Now that all the entertainers that are into it, they're in it for the wrong reasons, and that's why, that's why, you know, Angelina Jolie, Madonna, Britney Spears, and they all, you know, they all wear the little red string around their wrist, around their left hand, in fact, too, you know, and that's, I guess, you know, showing their Kabbalah, worshippers or whatever. And supposedly Madonna's some type of high priestess in it. And supposedly she's been Britney's, you know, one of Britney Spears' handlers over the years. You know, I don't know if I... Go ahead.
Do you think it's sort of just to, for them to gain personal power, or do you think it's, you know, a darker than that?
I do think it's kind of darker than that, but I think that when they sucked them into it at first, they kind of, you know, put it to them as like, you know, hey, this is, you know, just energy and good and bad. Well, you're having a bad night. Why don't you, you know, maybe involve them in a small ritual and then introduce them into it little by little. You know, maybe you have, you know, someone who's, you know, it depends. You know, it's really hard to tell with the Madonnas and the Britney Spears and Angelina. You know, there's three people I named there. Obviously, you have Spears, who's, you know, a Disney kid. We all know about the Disney mind control programs. And then you have Madonna, who's, you know, been this, you know, I really want to say, but, you know, a whore for all this, you know, sex symbol for all these people and put this, you know, stuff out. And then you have Angelina Jolie, who's a CFR member and pushes Coney and all these, you know, humanitarian
She's
wars.
She's a big mouthpiece for all of it, isn't she?
Yes,
Jesus she never shuts
she really
the fuck
is.
Up.
Yeah, no.
Anything that comes out of her mouth is absolute garbage agenda bullshit.
You guys want to know something interesting? We'll get back to what John was just talking about. But since we're talking about Jolie, yeah, she's a globalist scumbag. Here's the thing: there's a group started by Brad Pitt, George Clooney, pretty much the whole gang of them that was in Ocean's 11. The guy Don Cheadle is also in it. And they're a group and they're based out of Africa, and that's what they do is you know they've gone in there and set up and they're now trying to get more places, and supposedly they've been caught bringing Clooney got caught in Eastern Europe one of his movie shoots with 800 something real guns, real automatic guns. And obviously that was a CIA weapons, you know, they were moving weapons for the CIA under cover of a movie shoot. They had live grenades too, which obviously in a movie you would never need a live grenade for anything, you know. So I mean, they're very dirty.
Yeah, I think Brad Pitt. The same thing happened with Brad Pitt, didn't it?
Yes, it was either Pitt or Clooney that I'm talking about that happened in the one in Eastern Europe. But yeah, they're all involved. There's a couple organizations that they're involved. Never mind UNESCO. They're all big in UNESCO. But besides that, a couple of their own nonprofits that they've started, you know, are totally into making sure these people, you know, get on genetically modified food to solve the hunger problem, and you know, getting them into, you know, getting them vaccinated. And all this other stuff is pretty much getting them sterilized, in other words, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering, you know, should we put the call out to any listeners there that are practitioners of white magic to help us, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to.
You know, like we talked about the, you know, on the one hand, the way to defeat the New World Order is to just withdraw our consent and cooperation with them. But, you know, on another level, you know, if they're operating on a spiritual level as well, maybe there's a way we can, you know.
You know what I'm going to try to do? I don't know if he'll talk openly about it, but I'll try to get my buddy, who's a 33-degree Freemason, and is very knowledgeable about all this esoteric stuff and occult stuff. I'll see maybe if he's willing to talk about it for a half hour, an hour, one night. I'm not sure if he will. I tried to get him to make a quick documentary just dropping the numerology around 9/11, because he actually informed me of something that was really crazy, which was the Flight 93 thing. Now, obviously, you know, we know Flight 93 was bullshit, whatever. But here's the thing. 93 is the number that stands for Aleister Crowley's organization, which is Ordo Templi Orientis, OTO. 93 for them, like, say, if you Google 93, 93, 93 right now, you, the first things that will come up will be a page for Thelema, you know, which is another name for it, and it will come up with things about Aleister Crowley. And I guess it has something to do with it. I guess 93, 93, 93, it like rhymes with one of their spells. And so that was a little, that was a nod to them, in other words, that they either had involvement or, you know, or it was just like, you know, recognizing that they, you know, and if you look at all the flight numbers, look, 11.
Yeah.
You know, like we already said, 11 sorcery. That was the first one that hit, you know, 170, 175. The only thing I can come up there is adds up to 12. You know, which I believe is also a bad number. And the other one is, which one am I missing?
At some 70, point, though, don't you think when people are looking for numbers and things, they're always going to find numbers add up to a certain way that they want? Like, every number is suspicious.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, well, that's all right. Well, I'll throw out one. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll throw out 175. But how about 93?
Yeah.
How about 93, 11, and 77? Double numbers are real important.
Yeah.
So. How about three out of four then? How
well,
about
even
that?
175 adds up to 12, which adds up to 3. Do
right.
they not do
it's,
that?
It's exactly. There you go. And it's also, you know that 3 is also the smallest prime number you could break it down to. Also, I believe right, or that would that be one?
Yeah, it is obvious. Yeah, 3 times
right.
4.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know. So yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, there you go. You know, it breaks down to 3. You know,
oh, and I think the people that plan these things are definitely into this sort of shit. I mean, obviously. So, why do you think they picked the day 9/11? Not just because of the numbers, just because of that's what we use to call the police and the fire trucks. And every time you see a police or a fire truck now, you're reminded of 9/11. You're just reminded of 9/11 all the time. Anytime you hear a siren, you're reminded of 9/11.
But that's a possible reason why they made the number 9/11 to begin with, too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of things you can assign to that, you know. So, and that's how they work. Everything they do is multidimensional and multi-leveled.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
It's
you know,
just
but
hard
but,
to think on their level. You know
but,
what I mean?
But see, I think
but
there's another reason why they use the numbers is that just shows there are people that are in it that maybe not sure of it. That, hey, wait, I know these numbers and esoteric, you know, mean something. And, you know, they may be able to even figure out just from the numbers what, you know, that this certain, you know, what it's for or you know, or just that it's for the agenda and to, you know, and to, you know, leave it alone type thing. I don't, you know, and obviously it's, you know, also to put it across to the public and make the public, you know, hear all these, you know, these numbers over and over again, and that, you know, they probably, you know, get energy from that, too. Every year when they, you know, read off the names and everything else.
That's crazy stuff.
It just
man.
Seems the dark side of all of that is so, you know, prevalent and known about, but the positive side, if it exists, is you know, Nobody seems to know much about it.
Well, you know, let's do that. Let's during the next week, let's try to find some white magic websites and try to get somebody on. You know, or maybe even just try to get a little conversation with them, see if they can glean some light onto this stuff for
us.
It's
worth exploring because you know, if all that shit really, you know, works for the dark side in some way, then there's got to be an opposite to it.
Right,
and maybe we can somehow harness that. I don't know. That's a pretty wild thought, but what the hell? That's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, you know. I mean, you know, what better solution than to beat them at their own game? You know, I mean, I, you know, but for me, I would have to be very sure that I was saving the world to, you know, to probably even dip my hand into something like that because. You know, it's from what I've heard, it's pretty dangerous. Makes you wonder, though. I don't know. You know, just like playing, you know, with, like I said, with a Ouija board when you're, you know, you don't know or you don't know if, you know, what type of, you know, maybe.
Guys, I'm telling you, don't play with those things, man. I'm telling you. Trust me, please.
But like, okay, wouldn't there be some kind of positive Ouija board, something, I don't know.
There is. They push it at the freaking Child World and Toys R Us. They put it on the rack with the regular toys and games. Here you go. It's positive.
No, but I mean, you know, it seems like I mean, my experience with it wasn't, you know, it was neutral. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, it wasn't demonic.
Right.
It was just, it blew my mind that something was reading my mind. At least that's what I believe from that experience.
Yeah, maybe
so,
it's a different situation when I was using it up in a friggin' haunted attic. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe it brought different demons in or something. I don't know.
Because I wonder if good spirits could come through it as well as evil. You know, I don't know. I'm just I've never gone down this line of thought before. It just sort of occurred to me, but
I didn't even get into the whole story. But the whole story was, you know what? I might as well get into it. Here it is. All right, the house is haunted. All right, I've already known this. I'll go down the other roads after of how we've already known. But we're going to start on this one night, okay? And on this one night, I had a whole friend sleepover, as in, like, all my friends. So I had so many people there. I had about 9 people sleeping over that night, okay? So we're all sitting in the living room. And this is like an old Victorian house. And all you hear is the doorbell start ringing. Ding, 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 ding. And now it's just my mother sitting in the kitchen, who hasn't moved. You can see her through the doorway. And my father, who's dead asleep in bed because he has to get up and go to work third shift. Ding, 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 ding. So I go over to the door. Of course, there's nobody at the door, right? So we sit back down. We stop playing Nintendo. This is so long ago. We were playing Akari Warriors on Nintendo, which is an old, old game.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, okay, so we stopped playing Akari Warriors, and the screen starts getting a little staticky, like really weird. Like, you don't usually see with, like, an old game like that, you know? Really weird. And then the doorbell started again. Ding dong, ding dong. It's a loud doorbell, so it's scary. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. And two of my friends stand up, and they're like, you know what? We're going to go up in the attic. Fuck it. We don't care. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, we're going to go up in the attic right now, the two of us. And they know the stories. They know about the house being haunted. They know about the orphans dying in the attic. They know about all the noise always coming from the attic. So they're like, we're going to go up in the attic right now. Like, I'm like, you guys are crazy. Go ahead. Go up in the attic. Fine. Go up in the attic. So you hear them go up the back stairs. They go up in the attic, and all you hear is them scream at the top of their lungs. Ah! Ah! They both start running down the attic. Then you hear more footsteps running down the attic, and it's just like, whoa, what the hell is going on down there? So eventually, they came all the way back downstairs, and they start talking about green eyes in the attic. There's green eyes in the attic. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, oh, there's green eyes floating around in the attic. I swear to God, I swear to God. And they look terrified, terrified. So we all decided to go together upstairs, but not to the attic, just to my bedroom. And we all brought the Bible, and we brought the Ouija board. And we're all sitting there, and we're all talking about it, you know, and it's, you know, it sounded kind of crazy. And one of my friend Tim, who wasn't one of the ones that, oh, he is one of the ones that went in the attic. He's like, you know what? He looks up and he's like, fuck you orphans and you fucking this and that and the other things. We're glad you died, yada, 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 yada. And then all of a sudden, boom, I swear to God, dude, there were green eyes in my room fucking floating around. And one of them actually landed right on this dude's face. Right on this dude's face. And that's the dude that was flipping out that I had to hit with the back scratcher. That was when I said somebody got possessed by the Ouija board. that kid sitting on, he was just some kid sitting on the bed, totally just flew right into his face. It was crazy, dude.
A single eye?
A pair of eyes, and they turned, they actually turned red. When I say eyes, I mean eyes, like not like two circles. They were unmistakable green eyes. We shut the lights off in my bedroom. I swear to God, this is after they ran around in the attic, and this is after I had already lived there for years, and I already known the attic was haunted, yada, yada, yada. They were crazy for even going up there. They came down talking about green eyes. We thought they were crazy. Like, you know, you guys are making up a bullshit story, you know? So within like 10, 15 minutes, my friend Tim starts cussing out the orphan, saying, "We're glad you died up there, yada, 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 yada." The other thing, all of a sudden, a pair of green eyes appears, turns red, boom, hits my friend right in the face, and he starts flipping out. And that's the kid that we broke the back scratcher off his head. Boom, 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 the whole thing. And that's the only experience I've had with ghosts living in the house. But I, like, heard tons of shit all the time. All the time. Tons of noise from the attic. Tons of noise from the hallways. And I'm not just talking voices, like footsteps, like crazy. Just, like, walking above me as I'm sleeping, you know? All the time. All the time. But that was the one experience we had with, like, ghosts, you know? We didn't see any ghosts, but we saw green eyes. And we saw somebody get possessed from it. And that's no, I swear my life, I swear to God, that happened. And we all, we was terrified after that. We ran out of the house, all like 9 or 10 of us, and we went to my friend Scott's house and slept over there.
That's quite a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. I'm
what
sure
do you guys
a lot
think
of people.
Of David Icke?
Well, you know what? Actually, let me just say something real quick. Actually, I believe he actually supposedly practices white magic.
He practices white magic?
I believe that's one of his claims. Yeah, I believe he claims that he you know, practices the good side and, you know, of it or whatever. I don't know. My opinion on him is this: I don't know. I can't really buy the reptilian theory, and I can't really throw it out, and I really don't want to push it, and I kind of think that he's kind of like the European version of Alex Jones, to where, you know, he's there for a little bit more enlightened folk, that are, you know, because Americans, let's face it, we're, I don't know, it's pretty bad out here, you know, and Canada too. You know, in the West, it's, you know, I think it's, you know, he's a little bit more enlightened, and he kind of gives you like a more new age story with the same, you know, kind of stuff. I don't know the reptilian angle though. I have trouble with that.
It sort of harkens back to what we were talking about earlier. No.
What do you mean?
When we were discussing aliens, and whether they're, you know, any advanced beings of some sort, you know, have been here and meddling with us somehow.
Yeah, very. It's about, you know.
Which we don't know. We're just saying it's a possibility, right?
Of course. No, definitely.
I don't know. To me, his reptilian thing is just exactly that. I don't believe there are aliens there, because I haven't seen any convincing evidence. But I just believe it's a definite possibility. So I'm sort of like 50-50 on it, right? You know. Whatever, you know, any evidence either way could push me to one side or the other, so to speak. So, but he's saying, you know, they're definitely there. People have told him that, you know, they've seen them. Right? Hello? Yeah, so that's the, you know, that's the difference. But the essence of it is the same. It's sort of the same. If you believe it's possible, then, you know, they could be. That's what he's talking about. He could be right. about that.
I can't believe I just told that ghost story on the radio.
Well, you know, I mean,
everybody knows, though. Everybody that's like a friend of mine or even a close friend of mine, I've told. I mean, it's the truth, you know. I'll swear on a lie detector test every part of it.
There's something, you know, that for whatever you want to call it, let's call it spirit, that animates our bodies and leaves when we die. And, you know, so there's...
Yeah, and where does it go? Maybe it stays in its own house for a while and thinks it lives there, you know? That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, who knows, you know? Who knows?
You know? It makes perfect sense. Hey, guys, listen, it's almost 4 in the morning. We're going to take one more break, and then we'll come back with the final segment, and we're going to wrap it up in about 15 minutes. So just stick with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook. everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian and Justin. We're going on, Jesus Christ, it's like almost 5.5 hours here. So we're going to make this our last segment, and we're going to wrap up. We're going to wrap up for 4 o'clock. It's 3:48 our time right now. So in closing, I mean, we pretty much talked about all types of stuff tonight. We really didn't really get too deep into the 9/11 stuff like we usually do. So we'll save that for another night. But anything stand out that any of you guys want to comment on before we go off the air tonight?
No, not really.
Justin, what about you?
I'm trying to keep my eyes open over here. I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess, I don't know. Do you want to touch on Memorial Day or I don't know, you know, I mean, really, I mean, I think it kind of goes with the fact that.
Yeah. I mean, we could touch on it real quick and just, you know, let everybody know that, you know, even though you see guys like us talking about, you know, the war is a bullshit, we shouldn't be invading people, this country is doing this, that, the other thing, you guys should know that we still do love and respect the soldiers. Most of these soldiers, they know much less than our listeners do, that's for sure, okay? They really think they're going to, they really believe this propaganda, okay? They believe 9/11 on TV. They believe these other things. That's why they went and signed up. That was all part of the PSYOP to get them to go and sign up. And some of them, we hope they're bombing a lot less than they say they are. But who the hell knows? Who knows what the real death tolls are? Who knows what the hell they're really doing over there? But this country has acted like a bully for I don't know how long it's been going on now. John, you could probably attest to that better. But, you know, how many years we've been just constantly attacking people and lying to the people about it. And that's our point, is that they're lying to all 50s. Of you people about this. And standing up to their lies, it has nothing to do with patriotism. So people that think we're unpatriotic, you guys have it ass backwards. We're the patriotic ones. We're the ones that are trying to stop all the fighting, all the bleeding, all the dying. We're the ones that want to keep the troops alive more than anybody. So we're anti-war, yes, but we're not anti-troops. You guys are anti-troops. That's all I have to say on Memorial Day. Anybody else?
Well, I think if the troops knew that they were being lied to, they wouldn't be fighting.
No.
You know, they think they're doing a noble, you know, working for a noble cause. They're noble guys, basically, for the most part. But yeah, they're just,
you know,
they're being conned like everybody.
And they get brought in young, too, so they can be programmed real easy. You bring them in at 18, you start giving them this 9/11 propaganda at 18. By the time they're 21, they think Osama bin Laden's the most evil guy in the world, you know?
The whole military thing is don't ask questions, you know, just obey your orders without thought. So, yeah, we're for the soldiers. We're not for wars, though.
No, definitely. You know, it's a tough day, too, because, you know, on one hand, I mean, you know, I had two grandfathers that were veterans. My grandfather on my mother's side fought in World War II. You know, anti-aircraft, you know, all through Europe, was with Patton's Third Army. My other grandfather was in Korea. They're both dead, you know, so I plan on going and seeing both of their graves and everything else. You know, and if you think about it, really every war we've had has kind of, if you look at it, been a war of aggression on our part. But, you know, again, there's certain things we can't blame the soldiers for. Here's the thing. The ones that choose to make a life out of it after they kind of know what it is, you know, yeah, you know, they are kind of to blame. And, you know, I don't know. I really do have a problem kind of with the ones that, you know, that won't look into this stuff. But I think that some of them are trying, you know, there's only so much you're gonna wake up when you're out, you know, away in a Navy or a Marine base or whatever. So.
Oh my God! I don't know. I'm sure they have restricted their internet and everything, right. So they can't even look at a lot of things and stuff. Right. You know what I mean?
You know, it just sucks because it's a tough spot because, you know, I don't like what they're doing, but they don't know any better. So, I mean, I don't know.
There's nothing that pisses me off that somebody that calls me unpatriotic then calls themselves patriotic and all they are is somebody that recites what they hear on Fox News. Makes me want to slap the shit out of them.
Yeah, that just sort of robotic support the troops kind of vibe.
Yeah. Just support what they're doing. Support whatever the government's doing. Well, what don't you want to know? Don't you? It's really like since just before 9/11 and then after 9/11, they've built up such a hatred towards Muslims. Like it's a racism is what it is. Where it's people don't give a fuck if you wipe them out. We could nuke one of those countries over there tomorrow. And wipe out however many people, and people over here wouldn't give a shit because they believe the Bin Laden tale. And it was all just Hollywood, or 80% Hollywood, or whatever we think it was. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I get these emails sometimes with the Muslims are taking over, you know.
Oh, yeah, man, I get them too.
Quite a few of them live here, you know. And there'd be like a picture of these, you know, people, you know, in burqas, you know, you couldn't see the faces, right? Just eyes. And they'd be holding these, there'd be a small group of people, supposedly looking like a bigger group of people. And they have these particularly inflammatory signs like, you know, death to the infidels and, you know, this kind of shit, you know, just so obviously staged. But these people, you know, I got this acquaintance of mine, another musician,
it's unbelievable.
And he's, you know, he believes all. He sends me this stuff, and he believes it all. And I don't know if I mentioned this. I might have mentioned this last week, but he sent me to a website that was sort of, you know, telling you about how what a danger the Muslims were, and it had a list of all the Muslim attacks on American soil for the last, I don't know, 20 years or something like that. So I did the math. I added up all their... And some of these Muslim attacks were, you know, man beheads wife for infidelity.
Yeah, I saw
which isn't a terrorist attack. But I included all that. I took this site's numbers... And, you know, and even included the 3,000 people from 9/11 and, you know, did some simple calculations and wrote my friend back and said, look, you got a way better chance of being hit by lightning than being injured or dying in an attack by Muslims on American soil. And if you took 9/11 out of it and all the other ones that weren't even terrorist attacks, you know, it's just like astronomical. But these people, this guy's like, you know, college educated. And he's believing this shit.
We have another, another new person tonight in the chat. And he just exposed to us that he's from Canada too. So I'm telling you, a lot of Canadian people are awake, man. Like half the people I talk to are Canadian. This T-Rex guy is from Canada too.
Well, that's great, because I don't know them. I don't know very many people.
Maybe you'll get to know them, you know. Maybe they'll start calling into the show, too. T-Rex,
that would
if you
be
can,
good,
just
yeah.
Tell us where from Canada you're from. And you know what I mean? That would be good, you know, get more people calling in. More people talking about all this stuff.
Well, I think we, you know, brought up some interesting points and ideas and things to think about, and...
T-Rex is from Ontario.
Definitely ran the gamut anyway tonight.
Yeah, we ran the gamut tonight. And, John, I hope I can have you back on in, say, maybe a couple weeks. And maybe,
sure,
maybe
anytime.
We'll do a show with the week that we can get Chris on here, too, when we'll get Justin on and James, and we'll get back into the 9/11 and all these new questions that we have, and we'll let the five of us kind of pick up on, you know?
It sounds good.
Yeah.
But before that, you know, I'm sure I'll be you know, hearing from you in email or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe I guess I'll try to get some kind of start on some of those things we were talking about, the list of items that we think we know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get started on that, and I'll get started working on the website. And even in the meantime, until I get the new forum up, I'll at least get a web page going where we can get at least a thread going. For posting some stuff and labeling it and, you know, looking at it and analyzing it or whatever, you know. So at least something to get us by for a few days that can move over around.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking, like, so what we need is some kind of a little wiki kind of a thing.
Yeah, well, if you got a good example of any, send me some links to my Gmail. Throw it in the Gmail. Send me some links or something to look at and, if they've got any of them that are embeddable in a website, those are the ones that can use easily.
Yeah, there must be some wiki software or something,
right, yeah.
Or maybe I can whip something up. Anyway, I'll look into it.
Yeah, let me know, because we need somewhere where the real people that are really getting deep into this can just have some honest conversation and post some of these things and talk about it, you know?
Yep. We just keep putting our heads together and
I think we've come out with some pretty provoking thoughts since we've done that too, you know. But all right. So I guess that'll close it off for tonight, guys. Thank you everybody for listening. You've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook. We had a few callers tonight, including John B from Canada. And make sure you tune in every Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And this is coming from the realnewsonline.com. That's our website. Make sure you check out our blog section, guys. Anybody that's listening to the show, you guys will love our blog section. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Make sure you check it out. If not, I guess it'll be next week, Sunday at 10:30. We'll talk to you guys. Oh, guys, before we go, also, next week we're supposed to be having on Stuart O'Gilby. He should be on. So I still got to get back to him one more time, but he did agree to come on for next Sunday. But I'm still waiting to talk to him again. So there's a good chance we'll have him on Sunday. So he'll be on. He's a writer for Veterans Today. He wrote some articles about 9/11 that go down some of the same roads we go down. So as long as he makes it, I'll announce it later in the week. Either way, I hope to see all you guys here 10:30 Sunday next week, Dose of Reality Radio, and we're out of here, guys.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks.
You
thanks
too,
for coming
John,
on, John.
As always.
Take care.
Great combo, man.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.